Experience is the comb nature gives us after we are bald from an unknown source.
Today, we're going to talk about how good judgment comes from experience. Experience comes from bad judgment.
Okay, let's get started.
This is Wildcat Dojo Conversations.
Hi, and welcome to the show. I'm Sensei Michelle.
Sensei Jackie here. It's a cool day because we have a new guest.
Yay. Okay, so what can we say about Darlene? She's amazing.
She's brilliant.
We're friends from way back, and you've already heard her voice today. I'm just so pleased to have you on the show today. Thanks for being here.
I am delighted to be invited. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Have you been up to anything majorly that we should know about? Well, I absolutely know you have. So let's share one fun thing.
Well, my midlife crisis choice this year or last year was to go to law school. So I am 2 years into a law degree, and I should have bought a Corvette because it would have been cheaper.
And I believe your specialty is in fairness for women.
To some extent, yes. Mostly sociopolitical justice, but women play a huge part of that. So, yes.
You know, that does segue into our experience category, doesn't it?
I like that.
Okay, so here's how we got to this day. A few months ago, I added the saying that you just heard. Good judgment comes from experience. Experience comes from bad judgment. And I added it to my list of topics that I would ever do a podcast on. Then I'm scrolling on Facebook one day, and Darlene is actually discussing the topic. So immediately, what did I do, Darlene? I texted you.
Yes, you did. Same night.
Said, oh my gosh, we have to do this on air. And so here we are. It's actually been a couple months total time, don't you think?
It has been. It has been in the making for a little bit.
As they all are. There's a lot to producing that people don't see. Anyway, I am super excited.
Me too.
I've been waiting to do this. This is really...
I think we all just want to tell our bad judgment stories. I'm just saying.
It's
some sort of absolution to...
You know, what was really funny to me is that you had texted me something about it, life being funnier with bad judgment. And my joke yesterday to a friend of mine was that my entire sense of humor is self-deprecating. And if I didn't mess up a lot, I would never laugh.
I can relate. Well, I don't think we really need to read this saying again because we've said it twice already. Even though it's been attributed to many authors and speakers, one is Care L. White.
That's true. But one of our best friends, Mark Twain, is said to have stated the same thing, but with the word decision instead of judgment.
I read what you guys did, and I'll add that Will Rogers said a similar thing.
I like all three, but Will Rogers may be my favorite of those three.
Oh, yes.
He was witty.
And he said things that everybody could understand.
In a way people could understand. I definitely agree. Okay, I think we need to start with defining some of the words since we're going to try to at least partially talk about this seriously. It's a boring job, but we have to do it. Plus, my favorite part, we get to argue whether the dictionary is correct.
Okay, I'll take the word experience. Oxford Dictionary defines it as to encounter or undergo an event or occurrence.
Not a bad definition, but I'm going to go on to the word judgment. Which we should let Darlene do because she's in law school. But also from Oxford, judgment is focusing on choices and decisions. Now, good judgment is a choice made for a better outcome. Where bad judgment, says Oxford, is indiscreet or lacking awareness of consequences. That's such an erudite way to say bad judgment.
See, rather than saying lacking awareness, I would have said not considering. If I'm talking about me, the person just didn't consider the consequences. They just went what felt like the way they wanted to go.
Isn't that kind of like the song that we tell the little kids, think before you do it?
Oh my gosh. Do you even know that I have little kid songs on YouTube, Darlene?
No, you don't. I didn't know that.
I'll have to send you a link.
Unsurprising.
Okay?
Yes, yeah. We do.
When we used to teach in the daytime schools all the time, I would hear the teachers always yell at the kids. And I was trying to think of a way for the kids to be more in control of not getting in so much trouble all the time.
I remember playing the Move It song a lot.
Yeah, we did do that. So I made up these three little songs, and one of them is called Think Before You Do It. And that way they get a chance to figure out whether it's going to be upsetting. I mean, certainly there are plenty of times where you find yourself in a pickle and you didn't have much to do with it.
That's right.
That does happen. But their definition of bad judgment, where it's lacking awareness versus my description of, did I think it through? When I was speeding in that 30-mile-an-hour zone, did I think that through? Or was I just in a hurry?
Having to notice the school zone sign. Yes.
Okay. We're going to get started with our views on the concepts of the fact that life is full of experiences, and the ones you learn from are probably not the most successful ones. We've actually talked about that in karate a ton of times. When you compete, you learn so much more when you do not win than when you win.
That's true. I'll never forget the first time I competed and someone came right off the line with a roundhouse and caught me in the neck. And immediately after, Sensei Jackie, you said to me, oh, I forgot to tell you, she always comes off the line with that.
Now, was that bad judgment on my part? Or should you have had your hands up? I don't know.
Well, I didn't have the experience. So, you know, I wasn't prepared to make a judgment there.
That's right. You are correct. It was my fault.
And that's funny because it reminds me of that saying that I think I've got in the right order. Once, the first time it's shame on you, but the second time it's shame on me. Right? Is that a thing? Did I say it right?
That's exactly right.
You know, me and math. Frenemies.
Good friends.
Okay. But it applies to all of our lives. And from the time we're very, very young.
Oh, definitely. When you decide to go into the woods just to play and see all of the little insects and stuff in there, even though your parents have said, don't go into the woods. And then you can't find your way out before cell phones and somebody has to come find you. You learn that you should pay attention. Things like that.
I think I have one that's not too horrible to tell from you. It just came in my mind when you were saying your parents told you not to.
Oh, yes.
So a few of us were playing in one of the houses in somebody's living room, maybe 8 years old, nine. And we were laying on our backs with our hands and feet in the air, pulling each other up on our feet and then throwing us off our feet. Can you get a visual on that?
Yes, I can.
Okay. And we threw my sister and she broke her arm. Which takes us to another fun saying, it's all good fun until somebody gets hurt.
Isn't that the truth?
I think that saying goes hand in hand with fool me once, shame on me, right? Fool me twice.
Right.
And so really in that case, you know, it's your judgment and ability to trust other people, right? Like, you know, if someone didn't pay you back the first time you lent them $20 and then you lend them 40, it's...
Definitely.
It's not on
good.
Them. No. You didn't get that 40 back. It's on you.
Yes, because in that case, if I do give the person money, it's not a lend. It's a give.
Because you knew.
And that's where that judgment comes in. Should I or shouldn't I? Do they really need it? I've certainly made bad judgment in that area many, many times.
Lending money is a pretty simple example to that, but we could talk about my entire dating history. Be a little bit. It's a whole show.
Now, if any of your exes listen, they'll be like, hey, this is not a Taylor Swift song.
They know what they did.
Actually, my favorite dating story is that most of the men I dated since I was widowed is that they've gone back to their first wives. And it's
just this is what Jackie's known for.
I'm a marriage counselor.
Oh my God, stop.
That's awesome. Okay, so let's push on to the concept of, do we ourselves have to do the bad experience, or can we learn from others' bad experience? Or do both things hold true? Sometimes you can learn from others, but other times you don't listen and you still have to dip your finger in that boiling water yourself.
You know, I think that's actually a risk tolerance question, right? Like, how much risk am I willing to tolerate? Do I trust that, like, this person says, don't speed on 8th Avenue at 2 o'clock because there's always a state trooper parked and I'm in a hurry. I'm going to be late for work. What is my risk balance here? Like, am I going to learn from what they told me or am I going to just plow through this?
I'd like to think I learn from others. or watching them. But somehow I learn a lot more when I do it. I mean, I can look at them and go, oh, gee, they shouldn't have done that. But then I find myself doing the thing myself. And
sorry, I know I'm not supposed to laugh, but that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Okay. I interrupted.
That's okay, because it just happens. A lot of times it's on something that involves money, you know, making an investment or buying something. They order it and they say it's not good, but then I end up ordering it and it's still not good. So I don't learn very well from others.
As we're talking about this, I am drawn to a quote here that says, human beings are almost unique in having the ability to learn from the experience of others and also remarkable for their apparent disinclination to do so. And that's Douglas Adams. I love Douglas Adams, just also putting that out there. But I think it's almost a pride issue. I recently wrote a paper on poverty in America, and I argued that American exceptionalism plays a role in it, and that, you know, we're the greatest country in the world, but we like tend to gloss over a lot of our issues because of that. And so what's really interesting when you tie this concept to the idea that we have a lot of pride, and maybe just because another person wasn't able to get through this without suffering negative consequences doesn't mean that I can't. And on the other side of that coin is, if someone tells me I have to put in a certain amount of practice hours to get the outcome I want, the positive consequence, maybe I don't need to put those practice hours in. Maybe it's not necessary for me because I'm exceptional.
I can see both of those things. One of the things I love about having you on the show, Darlene, so we have to do it again, no pressure, is that you look at big picture socioeconomic, and I look only towards my personal experience. And I love that duality. I think that's fantastic. Where I went with it was, I think you can learn from others' experience. Now, see what you think here, depending on your relationship with them
and your trust level.
Like, take somebody who you really admire, and they did something. They did a triathlon. And then so you said, oh, then maybe I could aspire to that. And whether you need to work harder or the same or less to get what you desired out of that from their experience, you took something. Or we could make it into a negative experience. Somebody you admire got pulled over for not wearing their seatbelt. So you learn from their experience. But if we go to a child and parent relationship, and it's not that you don't end up admiring them, but there is that section between 12 and someday where you think you're smarter. We can find 20 quotes on that, right?
And then by the time you're 25, you realize how much they learned.
Arbitrarily 25. It could be 80. It depends. So I do think that the nature of the relationship on the person who we're talking about does matter.
I do too. And in that sense, yes, I can aspire to be what they were like, but there's also the feeling that I'll never be as good as they are, so therefore I shouldn't even try.
That could also be an outcome,
If you do that enough, that it becomes your experience.
And this all relates back to what you just said, that Douglas Adams said, we have an inclination to be hard-headed, humans do.
Yes, we do.
Us. That's really something.
You know, I'd like to segue quickly into something I was thinking about yesterday, and that we're talking about things that we value and what we're going after.
Uh-huh.
And when I was thinking about failure last night, I thought to myself, I have failed so many times in my life. And there's things that I have failed at that I didn't really try again. Once was enough for me. And there are things that I've failed at repeatedly and just kept going until I've gotten to where I wanted to be there. So in that respect, I decided that failure has this sort of remarkable ability to teach us what we value. Because if we're willing to try again after a failure, we obviously truly value that thing that we wanted, right? Versus, you know, if we just give up after the first go, maybe learning guitar is something that's never going to happen, you know?
It's just so funny you picked learning guitar, which would be a fun little hobby, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Because you could sing to yourself. and it's portable.
It's a lot of work, though. It's hard.
I know it is hard. I actually dabbled myself as a teen, so I do understand that. And I do agree with you. I do agree that you can figure out in your own head what you have an inclination towards and what you just thought you had an inclination towards by what you're willing to give up to get it.
That's right. And then making sure that you're not just hard-headed because of some, as you said before, pride issue.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to do that. But if the failure keeps coming and for some reason within you, there's a reason that you keep going, then that is something that you really do want. And you are learning from your experiences.
Yes. And in fact, you will be stronger from those experiences.
That's right.
So let's dabble in this. Can you learn from good experiences? Because I think you can. Yeah, I'm just saying. Let me give it a little thought here, okay?
I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah. I think we have a tendency to focus on the negative as a people, not just the three of us. And those are the ones we zone in on and remember for so long. But here's a super simple example. What about a simple thing like you walk out of the store and you see somebody who has a dead battery and you have chargers and they get a charge and they go on their way and that makes you feel good helping somebody. So from that experience of feeling good yourself from helping someone else, then could you learn to take that chance again?
So I think you're talking about positive reinforcement. If you look at it from that angle, I think there's a lot of good there. I think you're probably right, actually, even though I don't usually look at it that way. And this goes all the way back to the short time that I taught karate. You'd give the kids stickers for being good that day, right? Mm-hmm, so they did get a reward for being good in class that day. And perhaps that did reinforce their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense?
So I was thinking about losing weight. So I gave up dairy. And therefore, I lost 5 pounds. Does that good experience make me want to continue down that path? Mm-hmm. Because it was a positive reinforcement. But if I hadn't, it would have been negative reinforcement. So there's always some kind of reinforcement, positive or negative. I don't know. Did I learn something or was I just lucky that it happened?
That's a good one. I love the use of positive and negative reinforcement on ourselves. You know, our experiences are either here to pat us on the back or give us the finger. And I don't mean that middle one.
Us millennials call it treat yourself. So whenever I've done something well, I have a treat yourself day.
I like that one.
That's good. Very, very good. Well, I don't know that we've made any super headway on making people understand the positive and the negative experience quote. I don't know that, but I can say this. None of the three of us, and this is a well-worn path among philosophers, I believe, none of the three of us would go back and change something we did before, because if we did, we wouldn't be where we are now.
Us.
And that's correct.
And our before, our history is made up of both good and bad experiences. So you accept them and you learn what you can and you push on, right?
That's right. So that you can have more experiences, because the fabric of your life is going to be the sum total of all those beautiful experiences, good and bad.
And because everybody measures success differently in their life. So another person is successful because the majority of their life is content outside of those things that, you know, they happen. Bad things happen. Another person isn't successful unless they have created a family of 5. I'm just making that number up. Another person isn't successful unless they've earned at least $500,000 in this year. I mean, everybody has their own measure of success. And so each one of us has to come to grips with that. What is a person's measure of the success for themselves?
Yes. And tying that back into the idea that failure teaches us what we value, I can tell you that the sum of my bad judgments has taught me that I want a very different life from one that I thought I wanted at 22 years old. It took a lot of experience and a lot of learning what I didn't want to figure out what I did want.
And once you learn, once the realization comes, you also have to adapt at that moment to not continuing to want this thing that is absolutely not going to work out, right?
That's challenging, letting go.
But I also think that if you don't do something, then you will have no experiences. You'll have no bad. You'll have no good. The person who just sits and watches. So, Darlene, the fact that you have had good and bad experiences is because you went out and did them.
Exactly.
I may be brave or stupid, and I'm not sure which one most of the time.
Or both.
Or both.
Aren't they quite similar? That's how I'm going to go with it. So one of the things I like to do on this show is give people tools. So you have a lot of experience, Darlene. And you, you're going to teach someone from your experiences. We're going to do the thing.
They'll learn. I'm not sure.
About when a person hits upon something that they thought they so much wanted to be or to have, and then they realize that's not true. What kind of tool would you offer that you use to adapt to the new pathway? Did I say the question well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Here we go.
That is a difficult question, but I want to say that there's a couple of things. First is taking a step back. The first step is to back away from it and get a larger view of your picture and what success looks like for you. And I may be cheesy, but I'm all about vision boards. I make my students do vision boards and they're in college. I meditate when I'm having problems and trying to figure out what gives me the peace that I want to have. And then I just try again. But I'm really not much of a planner. I'm more of a like leap before you look kind of person. So I'll just I dive into something else and then we'll see if I sink or swim in that pool.
I think that's really good advice.
I agree with that. And I especially like the stop a moment and assess. I was just having a conversation with a friend the other day and we were discussing how wonderful it is to have what we in that moment called a transition moment to figure out, do I want to step left, straight, right, or backwards from it right here?
and it, unfortunately or fortunately, it goes back to what we've said in every single episode is to take a deep breath.
Mm. Good one.
Bring that down into your cheek pocket and just let it sit there.
Good one.
You know, actually, that's a really good point because when we stop and we take a moment, we have time to reflect on mistakes that maybe we made that prevented us from reaching this goal, or maybe mistakes in our thinking that we had that made us believe that this was the goal we wanted.
Mm-hmm. I like all that. But you're right in what you said earlier. See, the change can be so abrupt on the person and they have to steel themselves for what is going to come if in fact, that's what they have to do.
This keeps making me think of this Paulo Coelho quote. It's like my favorite one. When we least expect it, life sets us a challenge to test our courage and willingness to change. At such a moment, there is no point in pretending that nothing has happened or in saying that we are not yet ready. The challenge will not wait. Life does not look back.
Okay. Whew. First off, that was an awesome quote, but I really need to lighten our load a little bit. So what do you have for me, Sensei Jackie?
Well, I have a quote by Oscar Wilde, and if he doesn't lighten our load, I don't know who else will.
Way to go, Oscar.
Experience is simply the name we give our mistakes.
And exactly. So, guys, that is our conversation on
learning from experience.
Oh, which we do all the time, like it or not. Oh, now we have to get down to the business part of the day.
Oh, business?
Okay, let's do Honor Athletics.
Of course.
Do you hear all the time that she's our sponsor when you listen, Darlene?
I do. I forgot. I was like, what's happening? Then I was like, oh, wait. I heard this. I was like, I know what's happening now.
She's a wonderful lady running a small business in Georgia. Please support her at 770-945-5150.
Or scroll down and click the link. She's at honor-athletics.com.
And say Wildcat Dojo for your 10% discount. And while you're being benevolent, scroll down the show notes and click our support link and support us. We would also appreciate that.
As the millennials would say, buy us a cup of coffee.
I don't know that that's what they would say, but I'll take it. Now, my favorite part, I get to thank you for being here and hope that you come on so many times. It was awesome hanging out.
Thank you, Sensei. Thank both of you. I had a really wonderful time.
It's just so great being with you.
I hope everybody tunes in next week. And on that note,
we're signing out.
Yes, we are, guys.
Thanks for being here. Hope you join us again next week on Wildcat Dojo Conversations.